Horn's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire. Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports guru, Adam Wagner and Mount Southall.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Wagner Wire. I am your host, Adam Wagner, and I got a very, very special guest with me today. The director of high school sports from the local 104.9 Horn FM, Matt Southall. I can't wait to talk about this guy and his fantasy sports performance. He's been in a lot of leagues as of late, more traditional leagues, trying to get this guy into the DFS scene. But his pedigree is legit, and it is extensive. The man could play some fantasy sports. Matt Southall, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me. I don't know about all that accolades and things that you spoke of before. I've had a couple of good years in my run. Not a fantasy baseball guy, but huge on fantasy football. Ever since I got into it, it's become an addiction and a lifestyle. And I dabble in fantasy hoops as well, but
He's modest.
I had to cut down after a while. You know, it got to the point where I was in 7-8 fantasy leagues, football wise, and it just got to the point where, as much time and everything as I dedicate to this whole thing, keeping up with 8 leagues is tough, man.
Right.
Because you got to keep an eye on the waiver wires. You got to not only make decisions on your roster, but you got to make sure, and you also want to contribute as well, because that's part of the fun of fantasy football is getting in there and competing against your friends and your brothers and your family members, and not only showing that you know more than they do, but at the same time having fun and talking smack and everything that goes along with it. So that's the beauty of fantasy sports for me. So thanks for having me.
You haven't even brought up what you do on a normal basis, which is provide all the content and wonderful high school information for Texas sports on the 104.9 The Horn. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that and where we can find you?
Well, okay, so you can listen on the FM airwaves, 104.9 here in Austin, Monday through Friday. You're right, I do a high school sports show, 10 to 11 a.m., following our morning show here. To my knowledge, it's the only weekday, daily high school sports show in the state of Texas, which I started to think about it. I've been in the role for a little bit less than a year now, but it's been great covering not only football here in the great state of Texas, but also men and women's basketball. We're right in the middle of baseball and softball playoffs right now as well. We just had golf and track and field. So there's a lot of different stuff going on. We have our website, of course, that we're streaming on as well. We have a SoundCloud page that we put up all of our local content on. But it's been great just to, my wife being a high school coach as well, just being in that realm. And, there's a lot of people that care about it. And not only that, it's really interesting for me because it's very unique because there's not too many other people that are doing that sort of thing. So I'm kind of in my own little niche, if you will. And really, whenever you're thinking about it, especially whenever it comes to basketball. I mean, you're talking about high school seniors that could potentially go to college for 1 year, and then they would be in the pros the very next year. So, literally a year later after I'm talking about them as high school athletes, they're going into the pros. So there's a lot of very unique aspects to it, and I've really enjoyed it. Get a lot of really good feedback from not only the players from these high school teams that come back with me, but also parents and administration, and I talk to a lot of coaches. So it's a great deal of fun. Fantasy sports was definitely my first love before high school sports came into the picture.
That sounds terrific. I mean, and I know a lot of Wagner Wire followers out there that aren't Texans and have been really, really love the shows of Friday Night Lights and Varsity Blues. You're actually living it.
You are living it. A 10.
So,
I give it a 10.
So Peter Berg tried to bring it to us, but Matt Southall is actually bringing it to us. And once again, you can find him on Twitter at MattSouthall2. That's the number 2.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, follow him. All my Wagner Wire followers, you're going to enjoy this guy. He's got a lot of good content. He's a guru himself. I'm trying not to sell him short. Pretty much, but
I do what I can. Okay?
Yeah, he's good.
I do what
the problem is that Matt is a contestant in the same fantasy league that I'm in actually this year.
No. Okay, hold on.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I don't want to bring it down. I don't want to bring it down. We are in the same league, the league that you just joined that's been going on for a few years now. My wife no longer had time to keep up with her team, and we also had a league member pass away mid-season last year. Which is really unfortunate, and it's kind of a unique set of circumstances, especially from a fantasy perspective. And his name was Joe. We're going to name the league trophy after him.
Fantastic.
Joe Moon. So we're probably going to have we've been working on a championship belt, but I think it's going to be in the shape of some sort of moon, whether it's like a half moon or, like a crest moon. Anyway, so it's a unique set of circumstances.
Cool tribute, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he won the league the very first year that we had it. It was he and I in the championship game. And it was just, you know, just the nicest guy. He'd been begging us for years to get in the league. We thought he had no chance. He comes in and drafts. I think he had a lot of Saints players. It was the year that Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham were really killing it, and he had a couple of other really good players. But it's very unique whenever a league member passes away midseason because you don't know what to do. I mean, they're not in there anymore to set their to set their lineup. So, so our commissioner basically took over his team, submitted the best possible lineup for him every single week. Unfortunately, he didn't make the playoffs. He was very close though. But it would have been fitting for him to ride that wave off into the sunset. So this year and you know, the league going forward will be dedicated to our good friend Joe.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's a great tribute. And obviously the Wagner Wire and Matt Southall too will probably be tweeting about this and streaming it over the course of the football season.
We'll try.
So yeah, all right. So what brings the Wagner Wire to the Horn? Well, we did a little internship here with the Horn after we transitioned out of government, I guess you can say, out of politics. And you know, we didn't like that at all. So we got here at the Horn, had a wide open embrace by Matt Southall. So that's why I 100% have to have Matt Southall on my show. He's been just a guidance, been my flame, my guiding light here at the Horn, helping me get my podcast.
Oh, stop it.
At night. And it's up on the Horn website now, too, as well. So this will be our first installment of the 2017 year, I guess, and this will be our first football mock draft 1.0 because we will be doing more.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, because you and I were talking about setting this up and what we were going to be doing, and I mean, we could do 2 hours on wide receivers alone. So that's what I was curious, what exactly we're going to be doing. And for all you fantasy nerds out there like myself, you know, you listen to all the different podcasts, you see all the different websites, the coverage, the first, everybody just wants to talk about the first and second rounds. And that's what we're going to be doing today, just because you have to. And a lot of people want to hear that stuff, because it's the first pick. You got to know what you're doing first. You got to know what your foundation is going to be before you can move forward. So there will be more coverage from us heading forward in the coming weeks. I mean, it's May, and we're already talking fantasy football.
Well, you said it in pre-show. You said it in pre-show. Real experts have already done. Champions have already done. And this is where fantasy grinders become fantasy champions on the Wagner Wire.
I mean, it starts before the draft because you want to get to know the new rookies coming in. And then once the draft happens and you see where all these players are going to go, then you could start to put the pieces together. Okay, this guy's coming in, and they've already got this. I mean, you even see it on draft night. Guys get cut once teams get the guys that they want to replace them. So once the draft goes down, that's whenever the real research and the rankings and everything can begin. But yeah, so we'll go through the first rounds today, some of the guys that we like. But then also, you know, going forward, I hope that we can also take a deeper delve in there. And we'll be talking mostly, and I don't know how you do this, but for the most part, the league that you talk about is going to be, you know, a PPR 12-team league?
Absolutely.
I think
PPR is becoming the standard now
for most
traditional yearly leagues, I would say.
Yeah, year-long leagues.
Yeah.
At least a half-point PPR. It adds a different element to it, and it creates a lot of value for those running backs that don't necessarily get a lot of touches out of the backfield, like the Danny Woodheads, you know?
Yep.
Danny Woodhead is a monster in PPR fantasy, whereas he doesn't really do much in standard.
It just
brings up a lot of guys that normally wouldn't do that sort of stuff. So I hope in the future we could take a deeper delve for those people that are in the 14-team leagues. You know, I've got one league that I participate in that I commissioned that's got 12 teams, 3 wide receivers, and a flex. So
oh,
you can potentially
potentially
roll out, you know, 4 wide receivers. So you got to, I mean, what is that? 12 times 4, that's 48 starting wide receivers potentially every single week, in addition to 2 or 3 more that you have on the bench. So, I mean, you're talking 100.
You got to draft accordingly to your settings.
Yeah, you got to, I mean, you're potentially looking at 100 wide receivers that will get drafted in this draft. So you have to know what those guys are going to do. So I'm looking forward to some of the deep delves. But first and foremost, you gotta figure out who's at the top before you can figure out who's behind them.
And as always, if you guys have questions, be sure to, after you hear this podcast, to tweet at us at MattSouthHall2 or at ATWagner3181. That's me directly. Or you can just tweet the show at the Wagner Wire.
Boom.
Pretty simple. All right, so 2017 has some really exciting things for the Wagner Wire. We have been picked up by 104.9 FM The Horn. We will be one of their exclusive podcasts for fantasy sports. We can't wait. There's a lot more in store. The Wagner Wire is also, now I know we pride ourselves on independence, but however, we are still going to be a special elite force, but we are joining the DFS Army. The Wagner Wire will be like a, that's where we're going, DFS Army. I think you guys should check them out as well. Kevin and Keith, they do great stuff. Al Walsh, my buddy, my partner for a while now. You know I've been hanging with Al. He's got some great content. Go to him right now, dfsarmy.com. You will not be disappointed. They are some of the best in the industry here. The Fantasy Football Geek, Al Walsh, Keith, follow them all, dfsarmy.com. Without further ado, let's get into the first round of the mock draft, man.
Okay, so you got yours printed out.
I have the mock draft already. The first round of mine printed. Now let's differentiate ourselves. The mock draft that I did consisted of a 3 wide receiver format. Matt participated in the regular standard, the 2 running backs, 1 quarterback, and 2 wide receivers as well.
Okay. Yes.
That's both are PPRs.
Both are PPR.
But
absolutely.
we will give you, and also, it's a good tool to reflect and refer back to the Yahoo or mm-hmm. ESPN, you know, pre-ranks,
sure.
See how these differentiate themselves from each other.
And there's a ton of different websites, and they're all going to be different as far as rankings and everything go. I think that you just need to just do your research, read all the different guys. I mean, not only do these guys put out rankings, but they'll also put out articles in explaining as to why they feel this way. So just find somebody that you like, find somebody whose opinions that you agree with. Take their rankings and tweak them. You know, if you like one guy more, if you like the 13 guy more than the 11 guy, move him up. You know, there's not that much separating those two guys. So just find somebody that you like, that you respect their opinion and their football acumen, and then you could tweak it based on your opinion. You know, you can go back and watch film yourself. You can go back and look at some of the stats. Something may have changed that you think will impact a guy more than somebody else making the ranking. So none of these things are set in stone, especially at this point in the year. I mean, training camp and everything, once that starts
right. –
a million things change before the season actually starts then. So, you know, all subject to change. But, yeah, let's get into it.
All right, yeah. And basically, you got to remember, it's been a little bit of a busy offseason for a few wide receivers out there. Some sexy picks up like Brandon Cooks. They are now no longer on New Orleans. They have gone to New England under that Belichick staff. So keep all this stuff in mind as you go into this season. All right, Matt Southall with my first pick. And I think this is consensus. It's got to be David Johnson.
He's a monster, man.
He
really, really is. I mean, he just does everything so right, and especially in PPR leagues. And I know you've got some numbers over there. He catches so many balls out of the backfield. In addition to what he does on the ground, there is no one else. I mean, he's in that first tier, and I like to do tiered rankings. You know,
that's a great point.
Okay, and you know, some people do and some people don't. It just gives me a better – whenever I'm having to try and decide between, okay, I've got a tier 1 wide receiver or a tier 2 running back. You know, that's that. It just helps you kind of break ties in certain situations. But, yeah, he's
– it's the same concept of aim like, small, miss small.
Okay. I like that. Military stuff.
Military
right
stuff. Yeah, bringing it in.
So he's at the top of that first tier of running backs, along with a couple of other guys that we'll be talking here in a second. But I know that you love – David Johnson.
100%. Yeah. Well, the number that jumps off the page at me right away immediately is the 120 targets. Ooh, that's just
my goodness.
What
gracious.
Does targets mean? Wagner Wire champions. What does targets mean out there? Yes, it means opportunities.
Yep.
It means opportunities, and that's what you need in fantasy sports: opportunities to get you your stats that you want.
Mm.
Okay, 293 attempts. That's just on the ground. 1,239 yards. Just under 1,240. That's insane. 16 touchdowns on the ground. We just mentioned his 120 targets, 80 receptions.
80
of those 120 targets. He only missed 40 balls.
That's ridiculous. And he's got an ancient Carson Palmer.
Ancient Carson Palmer, exactly. And a lot of that could be checkdowns because Carson Palmer
most
could
of them
be.
Are.
Yeah, well, they had to be.
Yeah,
pretty much. And then you know,
you go through your progressions, and then you've got an elite running back coming out of the backfield that you could just dump the ball to. How many yards does it show? How many yards he got on those 80 receptions?
On 879 for touchdowns.
That's 10. That's 10 yards a catch.
Yeah.
So PPR leagues, 1 point for the catch, another point for those 10 yards.
That's 2 right there
every time, and that's. At that rate, he's catching 5 balls a game. That's 10,
that's
points,
10 points
in the receiving game.
Just in receiving
per
game.
Game. Per game.
And you know he's going to get you 6. You know he's going to get you 6 on the ground. I mean, how many games? There are 16 games in a season. He's got 16 touchdowns.
Boom. I mean, you need say no more.
That justification for number 1.
David Johnson, overall number 1 in every single format.
Consensus number 1.
Absolutely.
Who's your number 2, Matt?
Man, it's tough. I would still have... It's Le'Veon for me. As much as I love Zeke, Le'Veon also catches so many balls out of the backfield. He's so elusive. He breaks so many tackles. And not only that, he's got the top end speed. So once he gets past that second level of the defense, you're not going to catch him. And not only that, I mean, Le'Veon was my number one going into last year, and I knew that he was going to miss time like he did the year before. He's so dynamic in every single way. Ben Roethlisberger, he's got one of the better quarterbacks of these top-tier running backs, whenever you consider the other one, which we're going to get to in a second, plays here in the great state of Texas. Not that Prescott isn't good, but, I mean, Roethlisberger, from a fantasy standpoint, he's really just made that extra jump. And he's got so many other weapons on the outside that take away from, you know, that take the attention away from Le'Veon Bell. If they didn't have Antonio Brown, if they didn't have Martavis Bryant.
And he's coming back this year, too.
Exactly. Now you've got so much pressure off of him. The defense has to pick and choose. I mean, they're not going to be able to dedicate two guys to spy Le'Veon Bell, or even one in certain circumstances. So Le'Veon Bell, my number two, he's not going to be missing any time. He's going to be coming back, and he's going to be a monster again.
Yeah, clean offseason for Le'Veon Bell. No head cases, no distractions in the locker room for
Not
Tomlin.
Yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Let's
we'll
knock
see.
On wood.
It's a long summer.
I got to go with Le'Veon Bell as well.
Okay.
I really want to disagree and make some good radio here, but at the first two picks, these are got to be consensus. Le'Veon Bell, the numbers don't lie. 261 attempts, 1,268 yards, 7 touchdowns. That's just on the ground. 94 targets. Out of the 94 targets, he caught 75 of them. 75 receptions, yep. 616 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Stupid. It's just stupid. That
PPR
offense,
league, they got to be one too, right?
Yes,
running backs
absolutely.
That can do wide receiver stuff.
Yes,
you have. To.
And a lot of people think that it should be wide receiver heavy in the first round because it's a PPR
league.
Well, it was
the past couple of years.
But so if you look at the standard leagues, and here's the thing: the drop off from the elite running backs to the second tier running backs is so significant. It's so significant, in even in standard leagues. That's why running backs go first. Not because they score more points than the elite wide receivers, because they don't. They don't score more points than quarterbacks. It's the fact that you only have a very limited opportunity to grab those guys that really produce as far as fantasy numbers go.
God damn, that's why we have him around.
That's it.
That's why we
that's
have
really
him around
it.
Right there. Matt Southall 2 on Twitter. Follow his ass right now. Oh, my God. Great input, Matt. I mean, and he speaks the truth. You really got to differentiate yourself in fantasy sports leagues, and this is how you do it. With these two types of running backs right here that can provide the offensive production from a wide receiver, getting you those extra. What we just broke it down, David Johnson just got you 10 points before he even got to the touch, before he even got into the end zone.
He's not even running the ball.
Not even running the ball yet, and he got 10 points
a game. Unbelievable.
All right, so moving into three, I am staying in the state of Texas here.
Staying?
Probably right up I-35, just a little bit from Austin here.
RB, RB, RB.
Oh, it's got to be. And that is insane for these first couple of
hit me
picks.
With some stats. Let me hear what Zeke did in the passing game.
My man already knows it. All right, obviously, perennial number one running back. Obvious running back. When I say running back, like, he is the ground pounding runner. He's not going to get you the flash like Le'Veon Bell and stuff like that. He's not going to get you those.
And whenever we say RB1, that means that he is a top 12 running back in 12 team leagues. So if he's an RB2, then he's in that 13 to 24 range, just for clarification.
And that moves down another tier, as Matt was talking about with tier picks as well. Yep. So Zeke, some stats on Zeke, 322 attempts. Do those attempts scare you?
No, not at all. He's still so young.
Yep.
He's still so young.
Behind that solid line. 322 attempts, so he's toting the rock for you. He's going to get his touches. 16.
Behind that line, too. You got to mention that offensive line.
Yeah.
One of the best in the NFL.
Zach Martin. It's Martin. Zach Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Who's some other guys on that line?
You're putting me to the test here. I just know that they're really good.
they're the Hall of Mollies up front, and they're definitely opening the holes. And you mentioned his first, his cutback.
Yeah.
Zeke's probably one of the best at that. Given split instant first cutback, it's just going to get you right past that second wave.
There's another really good offensive line in Oakland, and we'll talk about their running back
Yes, we will. All right. Well, Zeke, 322 attempts, 1,631 yards, 15 touchdowns. That's just about a touchdown per game.
And he could be so much better this year.
Absolutely.
That was his first year
with a rookie quarterback.
I know.
With a rookie quarterback.
It's that line.
The line is
that old line.
It is.
And it's Jason Garrett, putting him in a good system and in a position to succeed as well.
Well, a student of the game, Jason Garrett. Played backup quarterback most of his career.
It should be mentioned, though, and I also have the average draft position, according to Fantasy Pros, a website that I like a lot that accumulates all of the quote-unquote experts, whatever you want to call it, the guys who do this for a living, they basically average out the ADP from all of these guys. Rankings, you could sort it by position. You can change it from – you can change the format of your league. It's really good. They have DJ 1, ADP 1, 0. I mean, there's no question.
Consensus.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Zeke is number 2. They have him at the ADP of 2.3. And then Le'Veon Bell is at 2.7.
So that's three running. I mean, that's the holy trinity of running.
I mean, we're not
right
we're not really going out on a limb here. It's pretty obvious to anyone who knows how this whole thing works that those three guys. And really, what you want in the first round is a guy that you can't miss on. You cannot miss in the first round.
And you have to hit it. If you miss that pick, there goes your whole.
You
got to
set the foundation. You got to set it. I mean, that's what it's all about. If you miss on your first round pick, then you're working. You're trying to dig yourself out of a hole all season long, and it's tough. It really is.
Zeke through the air, 40 targets, 32 receptions of those 40 targets.
See, that's got to go up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it will. I think you'll see a lot more than just screen passes being implemented into the Cowboy offense. I think they're going to have to keep that Giants defense and that Redskin defense off balance.
And if you think about it, the Cowboys, who are they throwing the ball to? They got Dez, they got Cole Beasley, and Williams, who just signed an extension for a lot less money. And as he tweeted out, loyalty, hashtag loyalty. They don't have a lot of elite wide receivers on the outside.
Witten's losing some speed. He can get that separation a little bit. But
That needs to improve, and they need to get him more work in the passing game because it will only benefit their team, and it will certainly benefit his fantasy.
Still, he only missed eight. Only missed eight of the 40. You know, 32 of 40.
Okay.
Not bad. We'll move on
here. No, not
bad
at all.
For your number 4 pick in 2017 mock draft, who you got, Matt Southall?
This one's a toss-up for me, but I would lean with the guy who's got the better quarterback and has less of a chance for the off-field distractions to take away from him. So for me, it's Antonio Brown.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's caught over 100 passes the last 3 years, and that's just off the
top
of my head.
Right?
It may be 4.
I think that's a record.
Oh yeah, it's certainly got to be. I mean, he's not the prototypical 6'4". Yeah,
little guy.
Yeah, I mean, but he continues to get it done. He's so elusive. He's an excellent route runner, and he understands what the defense is trying to do to him. That's really what it comes down to. And he's got such good chemistry with Big Ben. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. He's done it year after year. There's no reason not to draft him in this spot until it stops. Period.
Well, yeah, prove me wrong. 154 targets for our man AB. And it's well, I'll tell you, his stock is booming, baby, as he likes to say. 106 receptions, putting him over that century mark again for the third consecutive time, as Matt just mentioned. 1,284 yards, 12 touchdowns for my man AB,
and that's
and
pretty
he
low.
Brings that special teams feature as well.
Yes, he can run. And certain leagues have return yardage and stuff like that. So if you are playing in a league like that, you have to take that into consideration. Those guys who And it doesn't get any better than him as far as guys that produce on the field in the offense and actually also contribute somewhat to special teams. That, you know, if you play in a return yardage league, then Antonio Brown is arguably the number one guy off the board, period.
Yeah, and right now, like I said, I'd like to give a little bit of a contrarian view, but it's 1 through 4 we're seeing eye to eye.
Yeah. It'll start to separate here.
Right, it will. It separates itself here probably around the 7th pick for me at
probably.
Least. But yeah, I mean, I can't, I think I'm not even going to beat a dead horse. It's AB,
it's AB, nobody else.
Nobody else at 4. Number 5 for me, got to be my man, Julio Jones, yeah. All right.
Is that your impression of a cowboy?
I don't know what it is, what the hell it is.
Yeah!
But, I just felt like saying, Julio, yeah, we're not on the, we can actually drop like F-bombs and shit on here.
Yeah, we
too.
Probably
like,
could if you wanted
but,
to.
But I mean, I like to
You never know if kids are, you know, kids are in the car with the parents.
My son likes to listen a little bit every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah, my son actually did a kid league with his soccer league last
That's
year.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool, man.
Okay, now, are you one of these dads, though? That
I didn't touch it.
I
helped him out with his draft.
Oh,
I said
okay.
He might be hurt. You might want to check up.
That's pretty standard.
He was responsible. He monitored the season the whole time. I actually yelled at him a few times for dropping too many people. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, because, you know, you got to be patient. You got to stick with the guys, especially the guys that you drafted with high. And sometimes I have the opposite problem. Sometimes I hang on to guys too long, and I miss out on free agents that are exploding in weeks 1 and week 2 that go on to have really productive fantasy season. How old is your son, though?
10. He just turned 10.
10.
Yeah.
So.
The prodigy, the long, what is it? What's the saying? The long lost prodigy or whatever? Well, the prodigy of the son, the prophet, whatever it is. He won.
Sure.
He won. You know, one.
No, that's awesome, though.
His first
fantasy
sports league.
Oh, he
won the whole league. He won the whole league, yeah.
Wow.
And I know there was parents in there playing, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
how do you pick up Adam Thielen in the midweek after he makes that awesome prediction or that awesome receptions? I think he went off against, I want to say it's the Bears, just off the top of my head.
Probably. They played him twice.
Probably the Bears. Yeah, it's good. I mean, good odds there.
NFC North.
Right. But, yeah. So I know that there were some parents in there, and if you're listening, parents, the jig is up. I got your ass. I know you're out there doing it. You can't beat my boy. He's
Call
a prodigy.
Him out.
I am. I'm calling him out. The Wagner Wire prodigy.
Well, ultimately, you're just saying that you won't beat me because I'm also helping my son out throughout the course of the year as well. You know, it's fair. Hey, Dad.
Shameless plug.
Trying to decide between these two guys. You know, good for you. Good for you.
All right, number five.
Number five. Overall, your guy, Julio, you already went there.
Yep.
You already said it.
Oh, sorry. We'll edit this out.
Or not. It
or
sounds,
not,
you know,
yeah, it's, cool.
It's kind of better whenever it's not. But no, you love Julio Jones.
I do. 14,
another amazing
129
season.
Targets, 83 receptions.
There's no better physical specimen playing that position in the NFL for me. Hands down, 100% in any situation. I mean, he can play inside and out. He is the typical red zone target. He's got the top end speed to run those streak routes. And Matt Ryan, I mean, he had the best year of his career. Now, keep in mind, Kyle Shanahan is gone. He's in San Francisco now.
Big point. Glad you brought that up.
Big, big point. And so now he's in San Francisco, so they're going to have a new offensive coordinator. That was
Sarks, right?
That was
Sarkisian?
Yeah, I think you're – yeah, absolutely. And that was the best year of Matt Ryan's career by far. So things might change, but I don't see a big change going between Matt Ryan and Julio Jones.
Correct. Yeah, I think they're going to have that constant rapport. They're one of the best dynamic duos in the league, man.
There you go. Boom.
Six. The number that really concerns me a little bit about Julio, his yardage is obviously tops. But up there near the tops at 1,409 yards. But the six touchdowns really.
How many games was that in, though?
That's a great point. He is hurt a lot. I think it was out of 12. I don't have it up on the board right now. But yeah, as Matt pulls that up, so the six touchdowns concern me just a little bit. He is, like Matt, you know, stated, he is the red zone target. He's the red zone threat for the Falcons. However, though,
who do they have on the other side? They were running
that was
out.
My, yeah.
I mean, Marvin Jones.
What is it? Is it?
Well, it was Roddy White for years.
And then last year, I think that.
No, I know who you're talking about. Well, no. Okay, so Marvin Jones came over, and he was the primary wide receiver, too. And there's another guy that.
Taylor Gabriel.
Thank you very much.
Gabriel.
And he actually, I had a couple of good weeks whenever Julio wasn't playing and Jones wasn't playing, and I plugged in Taylor Gabriel. He had a couple of 100-yard plus outages, and that's really what fantasy is all about, man. You got to be able to know who's going to step up when these certain studs are going to go. And they're just out there chilling on the waiver wire, and nobody thinks that far ahead. You just have to stay ahead of the competition.
Freeman and Coleman stepped up out of that backfield.
Absolutely. Coleman. I love Coleman. He's in my dynasty league. I drafted him coming into his rookie year. Love Freeman. I mean, I love Coleman. Freeman's a good player, too. And that tandem, I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of a better wide running back tandem in the NFL.
1-2 punch, yeah.
Absolutely not.
Spread you out and then
because both of them catch the ball.
There. I don't know now that LeGarrette Blunt is going to Philly. Blunt and Sproles, but that's some old
Sproles,
legs there.
Yeah.
That's some old legs.
You got Ryan Matthews in the mix there, too. They drafted a rookie. Yeah, they drafted somebody.
Get out of your way, Philadelphia.
Get out
of your own way.
There's certain running back backfields such as that one. I typically try to stray away from the
Belichick running back?
Yeah, but I was trying to, like the Shanahanigans.
The Belichickians.
Belichicks. That's what it is. You never know who he's going to run out there, where it's James White,
right,
Deion Lewis. Now that Blunt is gone, you got Rex Burkhead that they also made
a move
for.
That's right.
So he's a guy that I've got my eye on as well. But the thing is, he could come out and have a good week one, and he won't touch the ball until week four. And you're just like, what are you doing, Belichick?
Thank you, Bill.
Help me out.
Basically, what I wanted to talk about that was
hoodie.
I just don't give a shit. Yeah,
the hoodie.
Yeah, Bill just really don't care, man. He's not in it for fantasy. That's for sure. He don't play in any fantasy leagues. That's for sure.
He keeps us guessing, and he keeps the other coaches guessing as well. That's why he does that. So,
all right. So number six, and we're going to take a break here after this guy. It's my guy here. He's my little drama queen. I love him. I don't know how much everybody else loves him, but I think I'm one of the only Giants fans in Austin, Texas. OBJ, have your way. 169 targets, 101 receptions, 1,367 yards, and 10 touchdowns. We got a little bit of drama with OBJ, but he's added an arsenal over there around him with Brandon Marshall coming over. I think it helps him out.
I think that the addition of Brandon Marshall will also help him out. And I think that Brandon Marshall's probably got a year or two left in the tank. If you saw the stuff, some of the stuff he was doing in New York, you give him a competent quarterback. And Fitzpatrick was decent in the year that he had until he dropped off late season, just like Fitzpatrick always does. But putting him in that system, you still got Sterling Shepard there as well that really hasn't reached his potential. Now, I think I saw that Victor Cruz signed with Chicago. I think that was today, as a matter of fact. So he's gotten on a one-year deal somewhere else. So
he's
gone.
That from Crew. He was a practice player.
I always root for guys that have had devastating injuries and have a hard time coming back like he has. So I wish him the best up there. But back to OBJ. This is a guy that, you know, there's certain guys that have those off-the-field antics that it really doesn't matter because they're so good on the field that coaches will put them out there regardless of what they're doing, and he is one of those guys. And, you know, it's just – I think it's immaturity, and it's a young – not only a young player, but a young wide receiver. And Right. Wide receivers, we
prima
know
donna.
Wide receivers.
Prima donna.
They're divas, you know.
Prima
they got to have the ball, and they'll argue that they're the best – athletes on the field because they're the ones that are having to run and catch and, you know, run after the catch and – you know, whenever they're practicing, they got to be able to throw the ball back and forth to the wide
right.
receiver. So wide receivers, they're just a different breed. So these kind of off-the-field antics, they would scare me. They would scare me off of him being a top three wide receiver, a first-round pick, if it actually carried on to on the field. And for the most part, it really doesn't because he separates himself. He could be a diva off the field, but when he steps on that field – and Eli sees him running that streak route, running the out.
Let go.
Running the
Let
corner.
It go, Eli. Let it fly.
I mean, that catch in that game.
Against the Cowboys against the Redskins?
Yeah.
Because he's done it a few times.
The first one that put everybody on notice.
Yeah.
That one behind
us. Welcome to the league, OBJ.
It's still the best catch that I've ever seen. I even asked my dad after. My dad's been, you know, alive a lot longer than I have and watching football a lot. And I didn't even have to ask him about the player. I just said, hey, man, did you see that catch? He said, that's the best catch I've ever seen.
Three fingers.
Best catch I've ever seen.
Three fingers. All right, we're going to cut out of here for a break. He's Matt Southall. I'm Adam Wagner. You're listening to The Wagner Wire.
All your life, you can't save me. All your life.
Now back to The Wagner Wire. Here's Wagner.
All right, welcome back to The Wagner Wire. I'm here with Matt Southall. You can find him on Twitter at MattSouthall2. He is the high school director of sports, the high school sports director.
Get it right,
I'm trying, man. All this fumbling stuff. I've been drinking way too much already before noon. Now, he's the high school sports director at 104.9 The Horn FM
in Austin,
Texas, baby.
HornFM.com. We have a Horn app as well if you ever need to listen to any of the original content. A lot of Longhorn coverage, Cowboys coverage, Rangers coverage here on The Horn. So
support Android and iOS.
Absolutely. Happy to have you on board, man, because the Horn needed a fantasy presence, and being such a fantasy sports nut, I had to be involved. So glad to be here.
You are definitely showing me the ropes, showing me the way, helping the program director see the light, if you will.
Well, you start doing this for so long, and you know, you start off with just the first place that you find, and then eventually, you know, you start to look around at other stuff, and you find other guys that are putting out content that's good, and you know, certain you'll find a website and they just have, you know, there's a ton of different options out there. You just have to find the one that fits right with you. And that's really
right.
What it's all about.
Absolutely.
So.
And in case you're just joining in right now, we're actually doing the 2017 mock draft 1.0 for the Wagner Wire. And it's provided by one of Matt's favorite sites that he's actually shown me, enlightened me a little bit to, fantasypros.com.
100%. They have a draft wizard, essentially. And so traditionally, you know, and I talk to a lot of guys who do mock drafts, probably not this early in the year, but...
Are they champions?
Yeah. No. Well, you know, sometimes you go in there and I've seen guys that did no research whatsoever come in with a top 150 and draft a championship caliber team. So there is a lot of luck that goes into it. But you'll notice if you start doing your stuff this early like you are, then it really starts to produce results essentially after a while. I forgot where I was going, though. What did you ask me to start off this part?
So, yeah, we're going to go with
Okay, the draft wizard. That's what it is. It's a site.
We had a long day of golf yesterday.
It's a site that's in connection with Fantasy Pros. In most traditional mock draft sites, such as ESPN and Yahoo, you have to fill up the draft room with other actual members. And especially at this time of year, guys will make picks that will never actually happen in a real draft. And it throws the whole thing off,
really. You get an inaccurate.
Yeah, because you'll get a guy that you wouldn't ever get in a real draft that falls to you because two or three other guys are taking kickers in the first round. Essentially what this site does is, and we should bring them on as partners because I love them and I really do. I advocate people to go and use them. It's all computer run. So you set the settings according to your league. You could pick whatever draft pick you want, especially once you figure out what draft pick you have in your actual draft. Then you can go and set it up to go exactly like your draft. It's all by computer. So if you're pick four, you start the draft and pick boom, boom, boom. 1, 2, 3 are done. You pick yours, and then boom, 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 boom. It runs off the next ones.
There's no waiting. There's no time limit.
Exactly. There's no time limit. There's no waiting. You could set it to a certain guy's rankings, a certain expert's rankings as far as to who goes. You can do it just by the expert consensus ranking.
And I'm looking here now. It looks like you can implement your keeper league, too.
Yes, exactly. It's so customizable. I've been a subscriber for years. And it's a very good consolidated source of information. So Fantasy Pros and the Draft Wizard, if you haven't used it yet, I implore you to go and check it out.
Thanks for the enlightenment. All Wagner Wire users and listeners, you should definitely go check them out at fantasypros.com.
That's right.
And it's the Draft Wizard.
Yeah, you could just Google Fantasy Pros Draft Wizard.
Right,
it'll take you right there. Yeah. I mean, they do basketball, baseball as well. I mean, it's a great site. It really is.
Yeah, and also, I mean,
they're not paying us to say this.
They're
honestly.
Not. I mean, they're not. They don't even know who the hell I am.
Yeah, they have no idea. They have no idea. So,
all right. Well, let's get along with it.
Keep it going. So we're about halfway through the first round where we left off with
pick six. We picked OBJ.
OBJ pick six.
We're picking up with pick seven.
You know,
this
one's really interesting. So we had to recap for you real quick in case you just jumped in. It went David Johnson, Zeke, Le'Veon Bell, top three. Then it went wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. So you had three running backs, three wide receivers go off the board. This next one was really interesting because this last year was also this guy's first year in the league. He was a rookie last year.
Yep.
And he kind of flew under the radar. What was he, a third-round pick, something like that for Chicago? Jordan Howard. And if you think about it, during last year, yeah, he picked up a little steam midway through, finished strong. I didn't really realize the season that he had had. And seeing him go this high, you know, coming into 2017 as a second-year player in a Bears offense who we don't know is going to be throwing the ball. They've got a lot of questions on the outside. Right. Kevin White, who got drafted 2 years ago, who missed his whole preseason.
Where's he been?
That's a great question. I mean, but
injury?
Alshon Jeffrey is gone. Now, Kevin White, he missed his whole first year. Second season, he came back, and he did play, but he didn't make as much of an impact as a top 10 wide receiver, because he went in the top 10 in 2015 draft.
Oh, yeah.
So, myself
he
included.
He was nasty for the Mountaineers.
Absolutely.
Man.
Yeah, he very much so was. He was a great wide receiver for West Virginia. And a lot of people thought that would translate over, and sometimes it just doesn't happen right away, and you see that with wide receivers a lot. But there's a lot of questions there. I mean, you don't know who's going to step up and be the number one guy, whether it's Cameron Meredith now that Alshon Jeffrey is gone. So there's a ton of different options, but I think that the one consistent thing that you can count on is Jordan Howard coming out of that backfield. And, you know, go through the stats. Look at what he did, especially those targets last year. It's unbelievable.
Right. Yeah.
It really is.
252 attempts, and that was with a shared backfield in Chicago. That's with inconsistency in Chicago. So it looks like Jordan Howard is the only consistency that's in that Windy City.
Yep. 100%. And then you look at you started up 252.
50 targets.
1,300 yards, 6 touchdowns. You hope that goes up a little bit more. But touchdowns are fluky. You can't really depend on touchdowns. You want a guy that will get a consistent number of carries. Carries are where it's at. And, you know,
opportunity,
that's really what it is. But 50 targets, that's what really jumps off the page at me because I didn't expect him to get that many targets.
From a Chicago backfield,
yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Exactly. Didn't expect that. He caught 29 of them for just short of 300 yards and one touchdown. The reason that he's going so high is because people realize that his ceiling and his potential is so, so high just based off what he did in the first year in that system.
What else is there? What else is there in Chicago?
Yeah. But then, I mean, other people will say, well, I've got a few other guys ahead of him, and that's fine. You know, this is just one example of a draft. And if I go over here and look at the Fantasy Pros ADP, they have Howard rated as the 7th-ranked running back. So, I mean, it's not a consensus. I mean, you could have Devonta Freeman ahead of him. You could have DeMarco Murray in front of him. but I like him here. If it were me, after David Johnson, Zeke, and Bell go, Jordan Howard would be up there. I may have one or two other guys ahead of him in the, you know, whenever it all comes down to it. But just for this, you know, this mock draft that you did, this is just the first round, and this is how it fell. And Jordan Howard went seventh overall.
Right.
It's not crazy.
And this is an expert setting.
Get used to it. Yeah, get used to it, because he's going to go in the first round in almost every draft. And if he doesn't go in the first round, then you better get him in the second.
Yeah,
you better get him in the second, because he's going to be a really good player.
I agree with you there. I just don't agree where he's being taken in the first round right here.
Okay, hold on. Let me pose this for you.
Go ahead.
Would you take him over, and this we're going to get to some of these guys, would you take him over LeSean McCoy? See, it's tough.
Yes.
Okay. See, I would as well. Would you take him over Devonta Freeman?
Yes, only because Devonta Freeman gets carries taken away and points taken away from Coleman.
Would you take him over Todd Gurley?
Absolutely.
Okay, and this one's a no for me. Would you take him over Melvin Gordon?
No.
Okay. See, that's where it is. And Melvin Gordon, spoiler alert, he's going to go two picks
right
after this. But it's just to give you an idea of where these guys are going at this point in the season.
My pick
in the offseason.
And like this, and again, this is from fantasypros.com, their draft wizard. So this
But you made one of these picks.
I made one of these.
You made one
I made
of
one of these picks. I picked Le'Veon Bell in the third as the third pick.
Gotcha. Terrible.
So,
what were you thinking?
What was I thinking? Le'Veon Bell. No way. And that seems to be consensus, too, by the way. David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell.
Those, I forgot to mention.
Not in those order.
I'm sorry. I forgot
not
to mention this
order
earlier. We were talking about Julio only having six touchdowns and how many games he
right
missed. He missed two games, week 14 and 15, versus the Los Angeles Rams. No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, it does. It still sounds weird. And versus San Francisco. But it's also worth noting that he had a one reception performance in week 3 versus New Orleans.
Wow.
He came back the week after that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know he blew up.
12 receptions, 300 yards, and a touchdown.
Right.
That's good for 45 points and a
there
half.
There was one stat like 2 years ago where it was just Julio Jones on the road, and then Roddy White wouldn't show up. And then at home,
yeah,
Roddy White would
exactly
show up, and Julio Jones.
Anyway, I wanted to get that back in there before I forgot.
But no,
anyway,
it's a good nugget. Good
back
nugget.
Back to, I don't know if you have anything else on Jordan Howard.
Nothing on Howard. I just wouldn't take him here at 6. I would actually take Mike Evans.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, just because last year, Mike Evans was the second most fantasy point getter in Yahoo Fantasy Sports.
And,
I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not.
I
don't know what
Evans
ESPN
is
did
my wide receiver for as well.
Okay.
I mean, because he's still so young, and really, if you look back at his college career, you could arguably say that
he didn't have a quarterback.
Johnny Manziel was good because he had Mike Evans.
Right.
Not the
not
other way.
The
around.
Other way around. Exactly. 100%. Johnny Manziel ran around, ran out of that pocket, threw it downfield. Mike
right
Evans went up and got it.
Just chunked it up there for him. He was exciting to watch.
Well, they're adding more depth in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, who else do they have there? Off the top
they got
of my
OJ,
head.
Didn't they? Did they get OJ Howard, the tight end from the tight end from Alabama? I believe
go back
they
and
did
because I can't remember.
But that adds tremendous length in just stalwart, the you know offensive wide
yeah
receiver stalwarts around
100%.
Throw it up,
yeah,
go get it. Throw it up.
Throw it up. Let the big man go get it.
Let the big man eat is what,
no,
what you were saying
he's
yesterday
a,
on the golf course.
He's a, let the big dog eat. That's right. I mean, he's a good player, and he's consensus. I mean, I'm looking at the Fantasy Pros rankings here, and it goes Brown, Jones, Beckham, Evans.
Right.
So he's right up there.
Well, yeah, and he would be my seventh pick. But,
and Jameis Winston's only getting better.
He is.
Jameis Winston's
second year. We're forgetting that he's only played 2 years in a professional setting.
It's crazy. He's got the prototypical pro build,
yeah,
you know.
100%.
He's got the Ben Roethlisberger.
He's got the arm.
He's got a cannon. He absolutely has a cannon. 100%.
All right. So fantasy pros actually made the selection that one of their experts made the selection of Jordan Howard in the seventh pick, and we're just recapping that for you. Moving on to the seventh pick, an expert has Shady McCoy, LeSean McCoy, aka Shady, the Shady one, 234 attempts. 1,267 yards, 13 touchdowns. That's just on the ground, folks. 57 targets coming out of that backfield.
Goodness
50
gracious
receptions, only missing 7 times. 356 yards, 1 touchdown. The game that stands out for me the most is obviously in that latter part of the season with that snowstorm, Pittsburgh and Buffalo, both Le'Veon Bell going off and then Shady McCoy going off.
Well,
Matt, what do you think about Shady here?
Not only that, he followed that game up with a 153-yard, two-touchdown on-the-ground performance versus Cleveland. He also caught three balls in that game for 16 yards. No, only one receiving touchdown for him, and that was versus New England early on in the season. You know, I was off Shady last year.
Right.
I wasn't sure how he...
to say that he's back? Or was that just an anomaly of a year last year?
I don't know. It's a good question. And these are things that you have to ask, and we don't necessarily know the answer. I mean, he's coming into this year at 28 years old. This is supposed to be the peak year for – he's going to be 29 in July. This is supposed to be the peak time for running backs. Right after this, they drop off. He may have another year left in him for all intents and purposes. But for me, I'd probably pass on him here. And
okay.
I'd probably take a younger guy.
It's America. We're allowed to disagree.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I'd probably take a Melvin Gordon in this position, a guy that has proven it last year in a good system with a good quarterback to take some of that pressure off of him, who can also catch balls out of the backfield. I don't hate Shady. I wouldn't take him this early. There's just something about him for me, and you know, it's
fine.
There's
like a poison. I understand. I know what you're saying. There's a turnoff.
I don't.
Of
yeah.
Something,
there's
of something.
There.
I don't know if it was the fallout with Philadelphia or just the inconsistency and debacle in Buffalo, but there's just something there. There's a cloud over Shady, and I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is either. I hope that he does well, honestly, but there's just so many questions coming out of Buffalo for me that I can't really. I like running backs in good offenses, and I like all my fantasy players to be in good offenses, especially the running backs.
Right, right.
And whenever you don't have a quarterback and you don't know who's going to be catching the ball on the outside, I mean, we don't know how Sammy Watkins is going to come out. He may come out and ball out because the Bills declined his fifth-year option, so he may be trying to prove to the
right.
rest of the
now
league that he's worth being a wide receiver one, and that's certainly what he was at Clemson, and that's why he was a first-round pick. Just too many questions for me. I'd probably pass on Shady, but he's like one of these guys that, hey, he falls to the second round.
Yeah, there's a steal.
Yeah,
there's a little bit
more intriguing. It's all about where you're getting these guys and how confident you are that they can actually produce a good fantasy season. But, I mean, Shady finished fourth overall last year. Behind David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, and Le'Veon Bell.
Right, in that order.
He was fourth, you know. What are you going to do?
Well, you mentioned this guy, Melvin Gordon. He's definitely the featured running back. Oh, my God, I almost slipped for the Los Angeles Chargers.
I know,
Chargers.
It's tough. You got to get used to it.
But, yeah, you mentioned Melvin Gordon. I'm on cahoots with you here. I think Melvin Gordon's out of the last two running backs we just named, Jordan Howard and LeSean McCoy, I think you got to put Melvin Gordon slotted up ahead of both these two.
Yes.
The experts for Fantasy Pros don't think so, however. They have Melvin Gordon coming in at the eighth pick in this draft. Yeah. Melvin
I'm not
Gordon.
Sure. I don't know what the allure is. Looking at the ADP on fantasy, this is turning into the Wagner Wire Fantasy Pro Show. Devonta.
We
Freeman,
will have to get
they
him
have,
his partner.
You know, right? According to the experts, they have Devonta at an average ADP, and this is in a PPR league, of course, at 6, and then Melvin Gordon at 6.3. So it's not far behind him.
I guess preference here.
Yeah, it really is. It's just personal preference, and. The beautiful thing about it is you can speculate and you can do whatever you want at this point in the year, and we don't know who's right until the end of the year.
The only thing that keeps me off Gordon over Howard, let me articulate that better. The only thing that makes me think that Howard's a little bit more sexier than Gordon is just the fact that he's not going to be splitting that many carries. I mean, you got Woodhead coming back for the Chargers.
No, he's on the Ravens.
Oh my God! Well,
yeah.
There you go. The Wagner Wire has just been correct. I thought Woodhead was still there.
He's in Baltimore now.
Okay, so he's balling in Baltimore. So I don't know. I guess Gordon stays. Gordon is now the featured running back.
So maybe that puts him ahead of you.
I think the weighted scale has been tipped.
Yeah, but I mean, two very good young running backs that have a ton of upside and a ton of potential. It really is just. I mean, go back and watch the film, and that's really what I tell people. Is you could sit here and look at stats and you can look at different rankings and all of this stuff. Go back and watch not only highlights, but watch an entire half of a game and watch that running back and watch their style. Watch what they do on film so you can see it with your eyes, because that's what all these experts are doing. They're going through and they're watching film from all of these guys and determining whether or not just looking at different facets of their game.
How many downs they're playing,
too. Not only that, yeah. Like, I mean, the depth... How far downfield they are whenever they receive a target, like it gets into that those sort of analytical things, and it, you know, if you need a tiebreaker, if you can't decide between two guys, for instance, Jordan Howard, Melvin Gordon, go back and watch the tape. That's right. All you have to do. Go back and watch the tape. You're going to like one guy more than the other, and that'll help you break that tie, essentially.
Can't lie to the eye in the sky, is what I like to say.
Boom.
All right, so moving on to the ninth pick, the 10th pick in this year's draft for the 2017. We've already mentioned his name, Mike Evans. Mike Evans is on the board. 173 targets. That is a number that is just juicy. I mean, I'm salivating at that.
That's
I might even bump Mike if that's the.
That's got to be the most in the league last year.
I would have to say I'd have to get back on Yahoo in a little bit and check this out. But 96 for targets, just under that century mark. 1,321 yards, 12 touchdowns.
Unbelievable.
Take him. Yeah. First rounder.
And that's 100. I mean, if he increases that that catch percentage, 96 receptions on 173 targets. Is not great because if you go back and you look at Antonio Brown, for instance, he had 106 catches on less targets.
But do you attribute that to
19 less targets?
Is that just all drop balls or is that bad balls thrown by Jameis?
That's a good question. I would assume that. I don't know. I have to go back and look at that. But that's a good point. But you hope that it increases
and
goes
it
up a little bit. Absolutely.
Yeah, those are some sexy numbers there.
So that's 10. Mike Evans went 10 right there.
Mike Evans went 10. Gordon went 9.
How do you feel about this next guy?
To me, it's basically all in the quarterback.
Yeah.
We've seen when he's on the field, he's a dynamic, elite wide receiver. We're talking about A.J. Green from the Cincinnati Bengals. 100 targets, 66 receptions, 964 yards, and 4 touchdowns for Andy Dalton. Now, I don't know if the big red rifle from TCU is going to be getting it done this year. It looked like
the thing
started off great for him. Great for him last year.
They drafted a real speedy wide receiver, too.
What do you think about Joe Mixon being in that bunch?
You know, that was really one of the more interesting picks because I thought they had solidified their backfield with bringing in Jeremy Hill out of LSU with the addition of Gio Bernard. I mean, because both of those guys
and their skill set
is very similar to one another, so maybe that's why a lot of people questioned as to why they would bring in Hill in that particular backfield. It tells me that they're not exactly satisfied with those two guys. That's what it tells me, and I would assume that Mixon would certainly get into the mix, despite how you may or may not feel about a guy. Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to ignore whenever you see it firsthand, which it shouldn't be that way. It really shouldn't. I mean, he should be treated, and all the other guys should be treated the exact same way as far as domestic violence goes. Now, as long as they're convicted. Now, there's a lot of accusations
for sure.
Not to get into any sort of legal mumbo-jumbo. He's going to have a role in this team. Now, where he goes, good question. That is something you almost have to get into training camp before you can figure out where a lot of these rookies will slot, especially in this particular situation whenever you've got two guys who have already established themselves and enter a very talented. Okay, a lot of people thought that Joe Mixon would have been the number one running back in this class if not for the off-the-field issues.
100%.
Over Fournette, McCaffrey, over all of those guys. So he's extremely talented, and he's a great pass catcher, and his acceleration once he gets into the open field is second to none. So the reason that he slipped this far in Cincinnati was able to get him was because of those off-the-field issues. But make no mistake, once he suits up, once he puts those cleats on and you get the ball in that guy's hands, he's going to make plays and he's going to be a fantasy stud.
And he's going to benefit A.J. Green.
Oh, certainly.
His play will benefit A.J. Green. It'll take. Yeah. I mean, look on the other side of the field. They got Tyler Eifert in the tight end position. He's a very sexy piece in that Cincinnati offense.
100%.
I think... with me and A.J. Green, A.J. Green's still a first-round pick for me. Mm-hmm. I just question his durability. Can he stay healthy? We've seen that he's been healthy. I mean, same question poses for Julio Jones.
Yeah. Any guy.
Yeah, right.
Really.
Yeah. It's a battle of attrition. It's the NFL, man.
Exactly. Guys are going to get hurt.
Yeah, A.J. Green is, I mean, he's got to be
he's
a first-round. He's a contentious or
Consensus. You're getting a bit contentious over there.
I am.
You are. So that was 11, and we have one more guy here. Go ahead and talk about him, and then I want to talk about, because I did a mock draft right before we came in here, and I took a different guy, and I had this guy on the board, and I took somebody else for him. But the 12th guy in this mock draft, the last pick of the first round was?
Jordy Nelson.
That's
the Pack, baby. Go Pack, go. Not on this show. 152 targets, 97 receptions, 1,257
Coming
off of a knee injury.
Unbelievable.
14 touchdowns.
Unbelievable.
He's going to get you that pay dirt.
He's the hardest worker, arguably, at that position in the NFL. And you know what? To bring race into it, he takes pride in being an elite white wide receiver in the NFL.
100%.
I mean, you can
talk about white stuff. I talk about black stuff.
I don't think, you know, I think that that opening up the dialogue with this sort of thing will remove some of the stigma
100%.
From it. But not to get too deep or anything like that, for instance.
For
God's sakes, we're a fantasy football
podcast.
I was a
politician for a while.
That's absolutely
politics
true.
And government from
no,
UT.
But, I mean, he's a can't miss. I mean, as long as he's on the field and as long as he's got Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball, he's going to be fine. I don't have any problem with him going in the first round.
And they added a sexy piece to their puzzle. They added Bennett.
Oh, yeah.
They added Bennett.
I like Bennett. I mean, Davante Adams really stepped up last year. I mean, in a big way. And a lot of people thought that Davante was going to step up last year whenever Jordy went down, and it just didn't work out because he's not built, and his game isn't to be a number one wide receiver.
No, he's possession. Exactly. He's
exactly.
A possession wide receiver.
And, you know, Randall Cobb, he's kind of the small guy that comes out of the slot. He kind of dropped off. So it really, here's the thing. As far as everyone else that catches passes for Green Bay, is kind of like, well, you know, him and Rodgers just have better chemistry this year, whether it's Devonta, whether it's James Jones 1 year, whether it's Randall Cobb, it wasn't last year. It was Devonta. You know, it was Devonta last year, and but here it is. Here's the thing, though. If Jordy is out there, then Jordy is going to get his. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely. 100%. Now, I don't have a problem with him going, and I know we have to wrap it up here pretty soon. Another guy that's starting to sneak into the first round that's almost as surprising at first to me. Now I've very much come around to it. Mike Thomas.
100%.
Mike Thomas is going to go in the first round in a lot of fantasy drafts this year. And don't be surprised when it happens, because with Brandon Cooks now in New England, I think he's got a great Twitter handle too. It's like Can't Cover Mike or something like that. And, you know, I remember him coming into the year last year. He kind of flew under the radar. But the rapport that he developed with Drew Brees throughout the course of the season, he's going to be the number one guy. And he's just got all of the physical tools that are needed. So whenever I was doing a mock draft before we came in here, I had the 9th overall pick. It went Julio, Mike Evans, and A.J. Green right before me at 6, 7, and 8. I had Jordy there. I had Melvin Gordon. I had Devonta Freeman. I took Mike Thomas.
Yeah, not many options. I think he is the number one in New Orleans. He's Drew Brees' favorite. You know Drew Brees likes to throw the ball.
It's Drew Brees. He hasn't dropped off yet. He hates throwing interceptions. He's got a big body.
I'm happy to say that I have him as a keeper in a few of my leagues.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, and like you said, just how you described it, he flew under the radar.
Yeah.
Even for me, I was just like, hey, you know, this Mike Thomas guy's coming on. He's coming on. He's coming on week 4. Guess what? You're on my team, buddy.
Tell you what. So, and you know, that's a guy that will eventually, and he has progressively moved up. I mean, I think I did a really early mock draft probably back in like February or so, and he was probably going in the 3rd round. So it just goes to show, like, things progressively change, and things will change from this point into the summer, especially with OTAs and everything coming up, and then injuries will happen during training camp, and it's part of the deal. That's why I tell people, try not to draft until the 3rd week of the preseason, if you can help it.
That's the best time to do it. That's when I like to do it.
And I think National Fantasy Football Draft Weekend is in that 3rd or 4th round of the preseason. So, but yeah, that's the first round, just to give everybody an example of what to expect. I know a lot of people like to talk about the first round and what their options are. So hopefully, you know, in the next edition, we can get a little deeper. But yeah, you got to start off. That's where all the drafts start off. So
right.
You got to know that.
This is just our 1.0. We'll be doing a 2.0, a 3.0, a 10.0, sure.
Yeah, other mock drafts we can get, you know, not only just the first round, but we can get through the first, second, third, all the way through the 15th. But I'm a big wait on quarterback and tight end guy. I like to. I mean, in a lot of drafts, I'll have 4 wide receivers and 4 running backs
before I even start to think at quarterbacks.
Right.
You can get a good quarterback in the 8th round.
I mean, in this mock, I waited until I didn't take a non wide receiver or running back until the 11th round.
Wow, who'd you grab?
I took Jack Doyle, the best tight end available. I think he's a good red zone target for Andrew Hill. Got a lot of touchdowns there last year. He doesn't have much competition at that position, and there's not a lot of big-bodied wide receivers there. Dante Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton don't strike me as big red zone threats, and he was the best available there as far as tight ends go. And I didn't take a quarterback until the next round. I took Stafford, who's still on the board at 12.
He's still on the board at 12.
Still on the board at 12.
There you go.
In a 12-team league.
Don't have a knee-jerk reaction and go grabbing that quarterback in the fifth round. Brady, yeah, you're not going to get Brady after the fifth. That's great. You don't need Brady. You can still have a quarterback, an elite, top-tier quarterback like Stafford, who had an amazing year last year.
Tell you what, man.
He can take you to the promised land. In
the league that I commissioned 2 years ago, I was purposely waiting on quarterback late. And all the other guys, and especially, keep this in mind, especially tight end and quarterback. If you're in a 12-team league and 11 are off the board in the seventh round,
they're not going to be getting any more.
No. One guy may take a backup, and that guy's an
idiot. They'll be there for a while.
Okay, exactly. So you don't have to jump on them right away because in all likelihood, they're still going to be there. So I was purposely waiting a few years ago to take a quarterback late, and then the other guys in the league started to pick up on it. So they thought, oh, okay. Let's screw Matt over. I'll go ahead and take my backup quarterback. So, you know, the Bridgewaters and the Cutlers and everything started to go. And I'm sitting there in the 13th, 14th round, and Andy Dalton's still on the board because Andy Dalton's an unsexy pick. And that's the year that he goes on to have a top three season. You know, so you never really know. It's the quarterback position, the difference between the top three guys and the guys that end up finishing the season at 10, 11, and 12, it's not that big of a difference. It really is.
Really not.
And that's why running backs go so early, because the drop-off from those first-tier running backs to the second tier is so much more significant. And that's why I like to wait later, because I'm getting nearly the same thing for a much, much cheaper price.
Right, exactly. And look at this year. 1, 2, 3 running backs.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
That's it. And that's the way it's been that way for a long time, and that's the way that it should.
Don't fix it if it ain't broke.
That's right.
We'll be coming back again, man. We're going to have a whole bunch of these shows coming out. I'm going to be releasing my top tens in positions for quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight ends. That'll be up on the Wagner Wire. Hopefully it gets up on the Horns website as well. Thanks for tuning in. You can find us again. That's Matt Southall, too, on Twitter. He is the high school I'll get this right one time. He's the director of high school sports in Texas here.
And a fantasy nut. Hey, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm Adam Wagner. He's Matt Southall. You're listening to The Wagner Wire. Thanks, Austin. I lost one.